find his work for USA Today Sports Online, usatoday.com. Follow along on Twitter. The handle's at George Schroeder. George, how are you on this fine Wednesday?
Man, I'm good. How are you?
Great. We catch you in the middle of a run?
No, I just got back a few minutes ago.
All right. I want to begin with the story you've got on the USA Today site about Kansas State coach Bill Snyder. Before we get into the specifics, what he's dealing with health-wise, how rare is he as far as one coach synonymous with his football program? Because I actually was racking my brain, and I bet most fans who aren't alums or from that area could name another Kansas State coach ever. He's really unique.
Well, let's first start with the fact that we have a recency bias, and other than 3 years of the eminently forgettable Ron Prince era back in the 2000s, he's been the guy there since 1989, maybe was this 88 or 89 was his first year. So, you know, there's a couple of generations of sports fans that he's been the only guy at Kansas State. Before that, the previous 12 coaches won a total of, in 43 years, 116 games. I mean, that makes the old bad old Oregon State teams look good in some ways. I mean, Kansas State was the worst program in the country, bar none.
No, yeah, that's true.
For him, that's why nobody can remember any other coaches, because they were, you know, the entire program was irrelevant.
No, I see, but I'm just saying, you know, fans know who Newt Rockne was and Bud Wilkinson and Pop Warner.
Well, those guys
and all that.
Won. Those guys won.
What? Yeah.
And you're talking about storied programs where, by the way, it isn't a one-coach program either. I mean, you know, Lou Holtz took Notre Dame to a title. Eric Parseghian was pretty good, you know. You've seen Switzer and Stoops win titles at Oklahoma. So, I mean, it's a little bit different when you're naming those coaches off from those schools. I mean, K-State, he can't – I mean, there's really no way to explain how bad they were before he got there. And they've never reached the truly elite stage. I mean, they were really close a couple of times. But they've been, you know, above average for basically 25 years, which is, given their history, amazing.
No, I agree. And by the way, I did check. Pappy Waldorf coached at K-State for a year. He would take Cal to 3 Rose Bowls. So there you go. But
right. He's going to go on Mount Rushmore one day.
There you go. So for those who aren't aware, what is he dealing with? I mean, he's 77. He'll turn 78 when the season starts. I mean, he's got a pretty scary health issue. And, you know, what he's dealing with, I mean, how it seems like it would take a lot out of him.
Well, and I think it has. He's dealing with throat cancer, which he discovered early December last year, you know, whatever that is, 6 months ago, 5 months ago. And he, you know, underwent 33 treatments for it, chemotherapy, whatever it is. And in Kansas City, which is a good 2-hour drive every day, over the winter. And so he's got a scan coming up, kind of a checkup on June 1st to see how it goes, and, you know, and what the treatment plan is from there, if necessary. But yeah, it's taking a ton out of him. I think it takes a ton out of people who are younger and more vital. And he's, as you said, 77. When I saw him, it had been the first time I'd seen him in person in a little while, and he just finally looked not just his age, but he's always been that guy who looks a little younger than his age. Suddenly, he looked older than his age, is the way I looked at it. And, you know, and that's too bad. But I've had him described by people at Kansas State, who shall remain nameless, and you'll see why in a minute, as a cyborg. So he's not going to, you know, if he wants to keep going, he'll find a way to keep going. And he acts like he wants to keep going right now.
No, it's an amazing story. I didn't realize the details. And for anybody who's dealt with somebody going through cancer, I mean, you circle the days of those scans and you sit on pins and needles, believe me. So they were a good team last year. I want to get to recruiting. We talked a couple weeks back about this early signing period. It just got green-lighted. So there seems to be two sides. You know, December 20th, 21st, 22nd, school's not in session. Will there be limited access to students? Some colleges take longer to process grades. From your view and those you've heard from, I mean, they seem like pretty legitimate concerns.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But, you know, I mean, everybody's, it's not going to work for everybody. That's the deal. I'll say this. If I'm a school that has, that's maybe not a big boy school that can, you know, then I think maybe I'm really excited about this. Although, by the way, many of the Power Five coaches were in favor of an early signing period because they don't like anybody swooping in and getting their guys. A lot of the Power Five coaches were interested in it being even earlier, like, say, August or something like that, which, you know, before you've ever played your senior year in high school, which is an amazing thing to me. But it, by and large, if you're kind of a smaller school, let's say not a have but a have not, whether that's in the Power Five or a Group of Five school, this is something you really like, because one of their common complaints is that they'll be the school that's been on this kid forever. Maybe he's a sleeper and he's signed or he's committed and he's about to be signed, sealed, and delivered in February. And a bigger school will discover him and offer him, and they're off he goes. Now, on the one hand, good for the kid if you get that better offer from a bigger school. On the other hand, you know, I get the frustration from those other schools, and all of a sudden they're left with this kid who's, they thought they had in the fold forever, and now they're scrambling to fill that spot that they had. So, I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense for a lot of different schools for a lot of different reasons, and I also think it has a chance to at least diminish some of the circus atmosphere that's kind of attended National Signing Day over the last decade or so. I don't know. Maybe it's just going to move to the first signing day or the first period. I don't think so, though, but because part of the circus has been its spot on the calendar where football's over and, you know, fans can turn their full attention to, you know, this sort of dream of what comes next for our program and that kind of thing. And this will obviously be a different deal. Your program is probably about to play in a bowl game.
Right. Talking with George Schroeder, USA Today. And obviously that part of the year, teams who perhaps did not make a bowl or didn't live up to expectations are in the evaluation process, which could mean a coaching change, which is happens way, way less frequently the first week of February. They say, well, commit to the school, not the coach. We know that's not realistic. Any talk or any reason that they should consider maybe flexibility of that signed letter of intent with the new early signing period?
Well, look, I mean, I think in reality and practicality, that's exactly what's going to happen. The purpose of the national letter of intent is to sign something binding, right?
Right.
So if you change that, what good is the national letter of intent anyway? and if you're and you're concerned about that, and you can, and a school will let you do this, you could just sign grant and aid papers that'll, and you can sign them with, or whatever it is, with 10 schools, and they'd all be bound to offer you a scholarship, whichever one you showed up to. Now, I'm not sure a lot of schools are going to let you do that very often, but you could do that. I think, but in answer to your question, let's say you have a coaching change, and let's say it happens, and some of them do, most of them are done before this, but some of them do happen. In and around that December 20 date, or even later, we'll have two or three a year, it seems like. If that does happen, then you're going to have those kids let out their letters of intent if they decide they want to go somewhere else. And you're going to have it happen pretty quick because the optics are such nowadays that all a kid has to do is mount a campaign on social media or call somebody, and it gets sort of becomes a cause celeb there. So, I mean, I do think that in actuality, you'll see those kids released from their letters of intent if there's a coaching change. If I'm the school, I'm going to scramble, and especially if I'm able to hire a new coach real fast, I'm going to ask the kid to hold on and let the new coach talk with them. But, you know, I think, you know, at some point, pretty quick, you'll have to let those kids out of their letters of intent. I think that's not going to be not going to happen a ton, Steve, and here's why. Most of the coaching changes do happen before that. If nothing else, we may see coaching changes happening earlier. You know how that's become a little bit of a trend for them to happen in season?
Yeah.
We may see it happen first of all, that become even more of a trend, and maybe they become even earlier because you recognize the importance of keeping together whatever class you've had or assembling a new one or whatever it is, trying to beat that December date. And you can't afford this long drawn out search for a new coach. So I actually think it may have more impact on schools firing and hiring practices in terms of accelerating the calendar there.
Interesting. We've got our general question of the week. A lot of with the Cavs on this run in the NBA, has LeBron inched closer to Jordan on the all-time greatness list? So we've been asking people, as far as comparing an active guy who in essence is still in the process of building a resume versus a Hall of Famer. Somebody said it's like comparing a painting that's 80% complete to like a Van Gogh. Where do you usually stand on this debate?
Well, I mean, probably where a lot of people of my vintage stand on it. I mean, how could anyone ever top Michael? You know, and so I don't know if that's a fair place to start from, but yeah, I mean, I think LeBron's inching closer to him. I don't know that we're at that spot just yet where I'm ready to say he's better than Jordan. They played, you know, obviously they played different positions in a different game, frankly. But they both have had tremendous impacts on teams. I know I'm not saying a whole lot here. I guess if I were pressed right now, I would say I don't want to make that evaluation until LeBron's done. But right now, I don't put him ahead of Jordan or even with Jordan just yet. I mean, we may be coming to that point.
Interesting. All right, last question. Both the Cavs and Warriors are in the conference finals. They haven't even lost. We've never had the same two teams play for the title 3 years in a row. While you look at the Spurs and Rockets and Celtics and Wiz, they're pretty good. What would be your level of surprise if the NBA Finals started and it was anybody but Golden State and Cleveland?
Well, I mean, it's not even a possibility at this point, right? So, I'm kidding, but... Barring some crazy injuries, which you certainly don't want to see happen, I do think they're not going to sweep their way into the finals. Although, let me put it this way. I'll be less surprised if they sweep their way in the finals than I will be completely shocked if one of them doesn't make the finals.
Ah.
I guess that'd be the way I'd put it.
All right.
I mean, the Warriors are perfectly capable of sweeping either the Spurs or the Rockets. The Cavs... You know, not all of their games have been works of art, but they're perfectly capable of sweeping the East. So, and then at that point, I'm just going to go ahead and call it. The Warriors are going to win the thing.
All right. We've got you at 3:23 on the 10th of May. We are etched
Whatever
in stone. You got it.
I reserve the right to change my mind 18 times.
Well, especially next Wednesday. Check out his work, usatoday.com. The Twitter handle is at George Schroeder. George, always appreciate you getting us off to the flying start on a Wednesday. Have a great week.
I don't know what that is, but I enjoy talking with you, too.
All right. Take it easy, George.